CliffCentral.com.
It's Lizzo, who's enormous but very, very talented. You know, you can be both. CliffCentral.com. It is a Friday morning. Why are you smiling, Sia? You think that's mean? What? No, what?
Was that necessary to add?
Well, you know what I'm getting a little bit annoyed by is people saying, oh, I have to pretend that I find fat people as attractive as I find thin people.
No, you don't have to pretend, but the weight thing didn't fit in the context.
I'll explain. So, you know Cosmopolitan magazine's out of business, right?
Well, in South Africa.
Yeah, but it won't be long before they're out of business internationally as well. It's a bad model. And what they've done over the last 10 years, I'll send you a screenshot of Cosmo covers from 10 years ago and Cosmo covers from the last 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see what I mean. They're putting people like Lizzo on the cover of Cosmo. Leanne, your microphone's muted.
I know.
And if you put people like Lizzo on the cover of Cosmo, it's not going to sell as well. You know, your cover girl is the reason that your magazine used to sell.
Yes.
Well, okay, look. Even
things Ashley Times Grant, have changed.
Uh-huh. Times have changed.
No one buys the... No, I'm sorry. Times may have changed, but economic behavior is more or less consistent. No one is buying the cover with the trans bearded woman on it. No one in the fucking world. Sorry.
So thank you.
I agree with a bit of what you're saying, Gareth, not as extreme as what you're saying, though.
You can think I'm wrong and you can disagree, you two, all you like, but the numbers don't lie. Those additions...
I'm not disagreeing. You love my point.
You didn't listen because Sarah didn't disagree.
Go on.
So Ashley Graham is a, you know, inverted commas plus size model. And even she says what is not working with this current body positivity and everyone is gorgeous move is that not everyone is gorgeous. And regardless of whether you're a size minus 7 or a size 4, there still must be an aspirational quality. And that is ultimately what gets us buying or, you know, get us to spend money or, you know, really goo-goo gaga over someone is because there's this element of, I want to be like that. Now, why would you want to be like what you see right next door? So it's not necessarily about the weight.
And it goes,
but I think
it goes both ways. I mean, for example, I don't want to follow a fitness person who doesn't look great, but I do want to follow a chef who's fat. I don't trust a chef who's thin.
Oh, God, Gareth, your views are so skewed.
Because I just think
so
you're a big chef and then you're spitting over my food and then your sweat is in my food. No, I don't
know. Oh, so thin people don't sweat? You bigot.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I don't want to be pulled into this. No.
I've kicked out.
No, All right, you two.
Are...
But I just think everyone, we must at least, come on, man, just put yourself together. Have a nice shave. Put some makeup on.
I think Lizzo tried to shave. I looked at the video, and she looks like she shaved.
I've got to do my beard at some point. Hmm.
Do you have some peach fuzz growing on your chin?
Not only peach fuzz, but when you know over the age of 40, you start getting these really tufty. What are they called? Tufts. These like hard hairs that you've got to pluck out.
Oh, for God's sake! From where?
Oh,
on my chin.
I've never been more attracted to you than now.
Yeah, Jesus these things Christ. Start happening. My gran used to just bleach hers, but mine are not staying in my skin, that's for sure.
Please mention this on your next first date.
Here's Bitleng this morning, who's always funny. He says, if there was ever a person deserving of a reality show, Kili Ann, man. This granny will live to 100 and have stories for days.
My cousin said to me the other day, Leanne, please, you've got to carry on living because this is the one who I'm a Kazanti to, Jack. Because Jack's got to hear these stories from his crazy aunt one day.
Yeah, of course. You won't believe it.
Have you accepted that you're just going to be the crazy aunt in the family?
Completely. Absolutely. I can't be anything more.
I want to be that arrogant, rich uncle.
That's going to be my brother.
The one who you have to beg to attend your family functions, and then he'll arrive late.
My brother's already said that he's going to start eating Jack XL before he can even talk, because he has to manage everyone's estates.
Just want to be arrogant with it.
By the way, I still haven't solved my notification problem on WhatsApp. So goddamn annoying. So I have to go on the app the whole time to see messages.
Have you tried the uninstall and install? Reinstall?
I'm just worried I'm going to lose everything.
No, you can back it up before you do it. Hmm. Very easily.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try it. I don't know how it switched off. I thought maybe it had something to do with the Apple Watch, or it isn't. I've tried everything else, so I'm going to have to probably reinstall the software. It's too much of a thing. Like, if it was just a little thing, it wouldn't bother me.
No, WhatsApp is huge in our lives.
But Gareth, we are not the people who are really going to help.
Yeah, you two. Well, actually, Leanne is pretty. She's actually not.
Leanne?
No, she. I know she gets the I know she gets the technicalities around the show wrong, but she's actually quite technologically adept.
Shut up, Sia. Gareth's always right, okay?
You know I love you, but that is not true. I'm not going to I'm not going to defend you there. I still had a 12 odd minute conversation at the beginning of lockdown to teach you a Google Meet call.
Here's a very nice compliment for Sia. Morning team from Temba. Temba says, I enjoyed the webinar yesterday on the future of media. Well done to Sia Sangweni for being a great facilitator.
What a weird experience for me.
Hmm?
I've moderated panels and emceed things, but I've never done it in my home. This was my first one under lockdown.
Did you dress up?
Yeah, I did, but I still wore slippers. I thought, well, I just want to... I'm forever in slippers these days, so I did that. So I said I'll at least dignify them with long pants. But it was... As I was, I caught myself in the moment. You're asking these questions. You're having these powerful conversations. And then you think, hold up. If I just happen to move my laptop a few centimeters to the left or the right, they would see my laundry basket. They would see my bowl of cereal. What is this? It's just
a whack
scenario.
This happened to me yesterday. We had a work meeting. So there were five of us from my work on the call, and then four people from another company. And when the call ended, you go, bye, thank you, have a nice day, bye, 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 click. Mm-hmm. And then you still have this feeling that they can see you. So I messaged the group, I messaged the work group, and I was like, is it just me, or do you have this strange feeling that people can still see you straight after a call?
That is such a good point. I felt
it's
that
like, it's like being on a boat trip, and then you get off the boat and you're on land, but you still feel like you're on the boat. Leanne, and no one replied. And I realized I must just be like a paranoid old woman.
It might be being paranoid, but I also think rather be paranoid and safe than sorry. This is the first time that I've used this thing that I got at a conference or something. It's to cover your webcam. And I also, straight after the show, I also unplug my microphone situation here, because I think, what if I've closed everything down, but somehow there's audio, and then I just let out the biggest fart. That's all you guys hear. But
it's like if I have a conference call, like a group WhatsApp call or whatever, and I go, okay, bye, and I click off, and then I take my phone with me and I go to the loo. And for some reason, I think, what if they can still see me?
Yes. And my friends have been, living their best lives, going, oh, yeah, I can sit in a meeting and then just mute myself and then I'll do something on the side. I'm also so scared of, I don't even trust mute. I'm like, mm-mm. What if it leaks through somehow?
I must tell you, though, this is hugely honest about like how things are going at the moment, because people are feeling a little paranoid because you're connected and it's so easy to connect, and then suddenly you're not, and you think, what if they still hear me?
Something could go wrong.
So I did a cigarette deal, And I had to WhatsApp somebody that I hadn't WhatsApped before. And the whole time I thought, what if it's the police? And I'm going, hi, I heard that you can deliver cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, you see, I've never let people into my house from a media point of view. You know, like I don't want people filming.
You haven't had top billing.
Yeah, I don't want people filming.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Shame. They're also top billing and Cosmo. What the hell are vacuous housewives going to do?
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Anyway, so now I've got people in my house every day on Zoom and Skype, and you know.
So true.
Mm. And it was also so Temba. Look, I'm not being. I'm accepting the compliment. Thank you. But it's also just weird because we do the show here and it's largely audio. And even with the video stuff that's being recorded, yesterday I had people telling me how to decorate my house. They're like, actually just move the frame over a little. Okay, now close your curtain. Yes, now sit up. And then just plump the pillow. But I'm like, no.
But this is what I've noticed that you do, and a lot of people do the same. Your laptop is on the desk. It's not elevated.
Mm.
And that makes a huge difference.
In what way?
You're looking down into the laptop.
Oh,
instead of it being eye level.
This is an oversight.
Why not? Why?
Because I look better like this.
What, showing your chin off?
No, I look better looking down because it cuts my long forehead.
No nonsense.
Oh, that's why you. Oh, because we keep saying move the thing down. We can't see your whole head.
You think Sia Superficial Sangweni would not have thought about like his that. Camera angle?
I like that. Sia Superficial Sangweni. We're going to keep that. That's good.
Yeah. You called it.
I'm very aware of all of this.
Right, a few things quickly. Christine says her mom is 89 years old and listens to us every morning. How cool is that?
Oh, I love that.
Vongani says, fat acceptance is a cult movement designed to make people feel good about being unhealthy. Believe me when I say that being fat is a serious disadvantage in life. You die earlier, COVID is on the hunt for you, and life is harder. That's from Vongani. And you know what? Someone sent me a picture. I don't know if it's new or if it's old, but I see that torrential thunder cunt of a human being, Amy Schumer, is pregnant. Again.
She's pregnant again.
That's nice for her.
How is that possible?
Gareth, the birds and the bees talk.
You're actually going to anger me right now.
Why? You like Amy Schumer?
No, I don't like her, and I don't like her humor. But she's certainly not too fat to fall pregnant.
No, I didn't say that. I said, how is it possible that someone so awful could possibly find a husband who would want to have a child with her? It's even worse than just fat.
Gareth.
Oh, she's awful. She's awful.
If you just choose your struggle in life. Do you not like her humor? Do you not like...
I don't like her.
Okay.
I think she's a horrible person, and I'm allowed to have that opinion, right? She probably would hate me.
No, I don't like her either.
Okay, well, let's leave that.
But where does her weight go in? Okay. I'm not going to win this.
Here's something from Leanne, for Leanne Moll. Leanne, why are you and your brother not your niece's child's cunty and cunkle?
Ooh, I love that. Cunkle Mark and Cunty Leanne. And is that because of that? That's because of that message that I sent about my cunt being in hospital.
Yeah. That's right, because Leanne auto-corrected on her phone from aunt to C-U-N-T. Carol,
I want to see that birthday card.
Cunkle. Yeah. Carol just sent this message to say, Gareth, I totally agree about Amy Schumer. No good humor. Yes. Okay, all right. Everybody has their thing, right?
Yeah.
I listen to your show.
And yes, she is pregnant with her second babe. Well, and I don't know. I haven't read the full article. There's some surrogacy thing going on possibly as well.
I listen to your show every day and I'm a super fan. Never phoned in because I'm always listening to the podcasts and never live. You guys kept me going during lockdown. Thank you. Everyone has great personalities, which makes the show great. Damon and Gord are a laugh a minute. I often rewind to hear their nonsense again and laugh at it. I miss Ben's cynical humor, but imabulalalaliyayayaho makes up for it. There are so many M's and U's in that spelling. I, It takes up a whole line.
And the poor dude, I completely changed his name.
Yeah.
Thank you. Who's that message from?
Guys, Amy isn't pregnant. It's a documentary about her journey to motherhood. Calm down. Okay. Even so.
Why? You are repulsed. Never mind. You're repulsed by
it. It's like her and Luciano Pavarotti, for some reason, are the two people who really make me uneasy about, like, the way...
No, but Luciano Pavarotti has talent.
Yeah, he could sing, but he was a monstrous human being. I mean...
But, I mean, he kept himself together.
Weren't there some dodgy stories about him?
No, the other one in the three tapes.
I think there was a story that he broke a toilet.
Yes.
But sorry, you didn't finish that point you were making. Okay, you said Luciana and Amy repulsed you on.
Yeah, they are the two people who, if you held a gun to my head and you said you have to have sex with anyone on earth, the last two people on the list would be Luciano Pavarotti and Amy Schumer.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm with
probably,
you on that.
And probably Damon Calvari.
What about, like, Honey Boo Boo's mother?
No, she... Listen.
You would put Honey Boo Boo's mother above Amy Schumer?
Don't be silly now. She's revolting. Don't get me wrong. But at gunpoint, I'd rather have sex with her than Amy Schumer.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
Let's put this to the test. Get a gun. Get Amy Schumer. Get Honey Boo Boo's mother.
And just, I wanted to throw in Anne Hathaway in the mix just for you.
Anne Hathaway, she's not gross. She's just annoying.
She's just annoying.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
Anyway.
Her and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
She was meant to be fabulous, actually. What did she do to you guys?
Who?
You guys look so grumpy.
Are we? Who are you talking about?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Ah, she's just the horse face.
See, why? Can you? Okay, so it's so easy for you guys to comment on people who you don't like. Can you give three compliments to people? Three
sure,
people who you do like.
Sia, you are fabulous. And we
No.
We even had a compliment from someone on your webinar yesterday, so well done.
Oh, take me out of it.
Anthony from Queer Eye. My gosh, what a perfect human being. Oh,
okay. You know, so
when
that's
it
one.
Actually, you know, when it actually hurts in your, it's below your Adam's apple and before your sternum.
That's Corona, darling.
It actually hurts because he's so hot. He's so good looking and so perfect.
I've never watched the show. So who is he?
He's the chef and food guy, chef and wine, food and wine.
Anthony Queer Eye. Oh, he's got an Anthony with an I.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What a gorgeous guy.
Oh, he's Canadian.
Okay. Pictures don't do him justice. Okay. He's actually Eastern European of DNA for DNA purposes.
Porovsky.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one of three, Leanne.
Oh, gosh. There's so many people.
I've waxed lyrical about Margot Robbie. I'm not going to do it again, but oh, my God, that woman.
Yeah.
Something about her that is just, and I've seen these videos. I talked about how I saw these videos of her explaining like Australian English, mm-hmm. where she talks about how you say babby and mate and all the things that they say in Australia. And she, even when she's just doing that and she's got, you know, minimal makeup on, she's not on a sound stage or anything. She's just out in the outdoors kind of just doing these videos. And she's just so beautiful. And again, like Leanne says about this Anthony dude, there's some people who you look at them and you're like, and this is where I'm as superficial as you, Sia. If someone is beautiful, they can get away with so much more with me. Like they can actually be horrible to me and I'll cope with it. Someone ugly tries that, they're out. I will tear them to pieces.
Okay, so I'll think of a fat person who I think is beautiful is Rebel Wilson.
Oh, now she's annoying. Now let me.
You think she's annoying?
I don't mind her.
I think she's so
don't
funny.
Call yourself an actor or an actress if you rely on your body.
No, I didn't say she was a good actor.
Oh, okay.
I've told you before, like, to show you that I'm not an ageist. Like, I've always thought Jane Fonda was hot, right? And even though her politics are just way, way different to mine, I still think that that woman, she's what, in her 80s now? She's great looking. I mean, I'm not saying I'm like, you know, rushing after her to try and hump her leg, but she's an attractive, exquisite woman. And for her age, especially, she's remarkable. So, yeah, I don't think I have to prove this.
You guys are slowly redeeming yourself.
There are lots of people I think are great, and most of them not because of the way they look. Interestingly enough, even for a superficial person like me. All right. There we go, Sia. You pushed us. Now look what you've got.
Look what you've made us do.
It was very hard for you guys to rattle these names off, but sure.
Oh, someone said that they like the way I say sanguine because I say it properly. I thought that
That are my name.
That are your name. But
Thank you.
Do people often mispronounce your name?
No. So it's simple to read.
Yeah, but there's a difference between sanguine and sanguine. You're putting the emphasis on the sang in the first one, and then the emphasis on the ngue in the second one.
Sanguine.
But, I mean, you even said, Sia, that Americans don't have a problem pronouncing your name. That's it.
Because it's that easy. Even Sia. Lucky. Well, the only issue that I've ever had with my name is when someone called me Sire. But as well, I didn't really find an issue with that.
No, because you like the idea of being called Sire.
Oh, yes.
Gareth, you sometimes get called Cliff by your surname. With people thinking it's your first name.
Yeah. Or they just don't care and they call me Cliff.
I sometimes get, because my name's spelled L-E-I-G-H. Hyphen A-N-N. I sometimes get, hello, is that like
No, those are people who are missing chromosomes. How the heck do you get that wrong?
It happens all the time.
Jeez.
Look at this. This is all Lizzo's fault because I played that song. All of this that we're talking about is because of her.
Lizzo, whose music I love.
She's great. All right. Okay. We've got some stuff coming up in a moment.
Ooh.
I'm going to talk about Waiting in the Wings. Now, this is an event that's taking place on the 2nd of August. Tickets are 70 Rand. You can book it quick. The reason I'm telling you about this is we're going to speak to the people who are behind it, the people who are making it happen. And it's a show that they're doing really to support the artists who are struggling at the moment to find work. So,
but you know why I particularly like these people? They have sat down with their peers in the performance industry and they're like, actually, we like what we do. We aren't waiting for handouts. We don't just want handouts. We like what we do and we want to get to perform again. Yeah. And so they don't want any sort of government funding, because for corporate artists, I didn't know this up until, you know, they started emailing me as well. Corporate artists aren't able to apply for any funding because with this government funding, you have to show proof of loss of earnings.
Oh, yeah?
Now, if you work in, you know, being booked for a company event or some end of year function, you're waiting for that call. You don't have any sort of proof. So these guys have been sitting with nothing at all that they can do. So they're like, screw it. We're just going to put on these shows and, you know, people are going to enjoy it. So I say kudos to them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Listen,
they've raised close to 200,000 rands with these shows.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I remember we spoke to Greg Walsh about the events industry not so long ago, and they've got that fund as well, which is there to help people. They've raised a couple of 100,000 rand too, which is terrific. So it's great to see that even though everybody is pretty tight in terms of their finances at the moment, they can still support the arts, and they can still support events and other areas of the economy that are taking a bit of strain. So I want to talk about these people because I think that Sia makes a very good point. They love doing what they do. Megan Victor Carlsa and Owen Lonzar, who are the directors of Open Spaces, are going to join us. And, you know, the show has to go on, right? That's what they say in entertainment. But I think we need to find out, because Waiting in the Wings South Africa has raised almost 200,000 rand since the beginning of lockdown, and they're putting together an online concert, which we'll tell you about in a second. So let's speak to them. Let's say hi to Megan Victor Carlsa and to Owen Lonzar. How are you guys?
Hey, Gareth. How are you?
Lovely. What's happening there, Owen?
Freezing.
Where are you, in Cape Town?
No. In Greenside in Johannesburg, not too far from you.
Oh, it's just up the road from Leanne. Do you have any spare cigarettes? Because she's looking for some.
Sorry, I don't smoke, Leanne. I'm too clever for that.
And the thing is, Leanne would have knocked at your door in exactly 7 minutes.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
I'm good. What's happening?
Yeah, you look terrific. You look way better than the rest of us this morning. Did you especially do your, you get out of bed with hair like that?
Okay,
she
look,
looks like that all the time.
Shut up, Owen. I'm talking to Megan.
This is I wake up with the hair, but I did put on a face especially because, hey.
Oh, you look fantastic. All right, so guys, first of all, congratulations on putting together open spaces. And why don't you explain it in your words? Because I've tried to articulate what you're doing, but I probably can't do it as well as you can. So go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, it all started when I realized that, you know, a lot of the dancers were struggling out there. Started out as a backup fund just to help a few people. And then we realized there was a massive need. We also realized that I was listening to you just before I came on, and you were saying that, you know, South Africans support the arts and stuff. And the truth is South Africans need artists. They want us to survive this thing, and we're trying to help artists survive that, because it's not just about the fact that people are struggling. A lot of the artists are going, I don't want to do this anymore. There's some really talented musicians who are giving up. Trumpet players. I mean, there's a singer I know who I've persuaded to carry on singing because he's incredibly talented. He's going, I don't want to do this anymore. The people don't, you know, the government doesn't care about us. Why must I keep doing this for a living? I need to find another way to sustain myself. If this ever happens again, I can't be in this situation. So when we get out of this, there aren't going to be any artists. And then what do? You know, we're essential service for the soul. So we're trying to help artists stay in their homes. We helped someone last night. A benefactor gave someone the money for their rent for a month through one of our posts. So, yeah, that's basically what we're trying to do.
So, guys, I mean, the whole idea of the struggling artist is something that always comes up, right? And artists throughout history, I mean, we did an episode of Blind History the other day, which is a podcast series we do, and we were covering the great composers. So you got Mozart and Beethoven and Bach, and these guys always had problems with money. And it seems to me like a lot of the time, and there are very successful artists who never have problems with money, God bless them. But, you know, it is a very insecure business to be in, because especially if you work in the corporate field and you do like corporate entertainment and you guys would do awards shows or whatever it might be, those people, there's nothing going on at the moment.
Go, Meg.
Look, yeah, I mean, look, that's always a very interesting question. And I've always said this. If you know your hustle, you're going to be okay. But artists always have this weird habit of rolling in it for 1 month, and then the next month they're broke. We are going to have to look at other ways to earn an income, you know, maybe some side hustles, some side businesses that can sustain us. But also, I mean, you know our industry. We're not the sharing type, and we don't have something, you know, that inspires fellowship. You know, no one tells you about gigs because they're afraid that you're going to steal their clients and then you're going to be hired for the next gig. In the meantime, if you know your hustle, there is work for everyone. There is actually work for everyone. I mean, my side hustle is in experiential marketing. And I mean, I've suffered because it's all events based, but I did have a side hustle. I was doing other things aside from doing the corporate entertainment and teaching and things like that. So it's important that you understand your hustle.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Well made, because there are too many people. And I mean, it's good that you bring up the jealousy and the fact that a lot of artists, whether they're performers or other kinds of artists, are terrified to share anything because they're worried that it's going to impact their bottom line. And, you know, they start to think of themselves a little more than anyone else. I'm glad you brought that up, because it is true.
But the truth is, I mean, relationships are the currency of the future. I've always said this, but actually it's the currency of right now.
Yeah.
It's not about keeping people sweet. No, you have to build real, honest, authentic relationships. I mean, honestly, I'll be honest with you. Lately, I mean, I haven't even had to audition for things. They just call me because they know my previous work and because I've maintained those relationships. That is what it is. And you'll feel it now. Connection is everything.
Well, listen, I understand that some of that is because you're an experienced professional, but you're also lucky. I mean, there are some people who, not because they're not professional, there's nothing going on for them. And this online stuff, a lot of it doesn't work, you know. A lot of the online stuff, just, it's not as powerful.
What's
like dancing. I don't want to see a dancer on, you know, on video.
And no exactly.
You're not going to pay the kind of money that you might have before.
No, not, and that's the point, is not every art form translates online. And also, there are thousands of performers in South Africa who don't have access to fiber, who don't have access to Wi-Fi. You know, they have a little bit of data on their phones, and that's it. They can't go online and entertain people to make money. They just can't.
Yeah.
That option is there for them. So that's another thing. Our slogan is artists helping artists. So we don't want a handout. Performers like to do what they do. We do what we do because we love it. So we want to be doing that. We don't want to sit at home and get a donation. So the whole thing with Waiting in the Wings essay is about creating entertainment so that the artists who are in that show, like the one we have coming up, will get a percentage of every ticket sale that goes to them for performing. But there's a percentage that comes to us so we can help those artists who can't be in that show because they don't have access to what these artists do to be able to be in it. So everyone is helping everyone, but we're at least getting to perform and do what we love, and we're giving the audience something back. We don't want a donation. We want them to buy a ticket.
And I'm glad you also aren't saying like you want government to bail you out. Like we had someone on the other day who was saying, no, he quite likes the idea of government helping artists. No, I think that you guys,
pointless.
You perform a service and people are willing to pay for that service. And there's no reason why you have to go around to the begging bowl to some MEC in order to get some cash in the bank, you know?
People
will support you for doing what you do better than anyone else.
Absolutely.
South Africans are generous. Let me tell you something. I know South Africans are struggling, but there's that South African out there who will take that 70 Rand and buy a ticket to support us because South Africans are extraordinary people. They really, really are. And I've never really been that proudly South African. My friends all know that. But this lockdown has taught me something. South Africans are special.
Okay. You were going to say, Megan?
We have seen a lot of generosity and a lot of magic in the last couple of months. And I mean, especially now, 3 months in, where we're trying to keep people in their homes and we're trying to help them keep their assets that they worked so hard for. A lot of generosity and a lot of magic we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
I'm glad to hear it. So tell me about the concert. Let's get into that.
Go next.
All right, so Open Spaces. This is what's so fantastic about it. Yes, we are live streaming. We've got incredible artists. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got Cordelia, and I mean, you know that girl can sing. She doesn't just sing.
She's amazing.
Sings.
No, she's absolutely amazing, yeah.
What a vocalist. And we've got Timothy Malloy. We've got Daniel Barron. We've got Ilse Klink. We've got Sita from Vonnegut. We've got Vicky Sampson, for goodness sake. And she's performing with Sterling EQ. We've got this incredible orchestra. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say the Johannesburg Youth Orchestra hasn't received any funding since this COVID-19 shutdown. So we are extremely proud to collaborate with them. Also, the difference with this entire process, I mean, I know that you guys are very used to seeing concerts on your couch. The artist is in their kitchen. The artist is in their living room. I don't know. The artist is in their bath. I don't know. But we're not doing that.
How are you doing it differently?
We are taking these... So we want to return to these open spaces. This is a message of hope. We want to return to open spaces like parks and theaters and things like that. So we are actually taking our singers and we are shooting them outside.
Amazing. I love that because you're showing people that they can get out again. I mean, a lot of people are suffering. They're suffering from some kind of Stockholm syndrome where they're actually they're imprisoned in their own houses and they're too terrified to go out. Plus, so many of these things that you see where, you know, singers, dancers, actors, performers are in their houses, they're actually very mediocre. They need an audience, you know, and a lot of them need some technical production as well. So if you're doing it professionally, it makes all the difference.
Megan, that's such a good point because I actually put pause on my debut album because
darling,
can you imagine?
Let me know if you need backing vocals, darling.
I'm sorry. I think it's because Gareth heard it and he put a stop to it. If you ask me.
Trust me, I wouldn't even be able to sit through hearing it. Okay, so tell us, what's the plan of action here? How can we get involved?
Okay, so we've got a website that's up. It's very basic because we've just started it, and it's waitinginthewingssa.co.za. And people can go there, and there's a button that says book now. They just click on it. It'll take them to the quicket.co.za site, and they can buy a ticket. If they can buy five, they can please buy five. Give them to your friends to watch. If you can afford to buy one, that's fantastic. Sure. You can buy 10.
Just quickly, were there any artists who you guys approached who said, oh, no, I'm not doing it for that money?
Yeah, that's a conversation we'll have with you privately.
Yeah, we should have that conversation offline.
Let's just talk about the fact that, yes, there are truckloads of money for events before this lockdown came along who would not do this for free. Interesting thing is that all the artists we have performing now, we asked them, not one of them asked for a fee. We offered that to them after they said yes. Not one of them asked about money. Huh. Not one.
That speaks very well of those people who are on board. I love
it. Exactly. It does.
Okay. You, it's amazing how you see people's real colors when they're under pressure, huh?
Let me tell you, exactly. COVID-19 has revealed everything. And it's sad that it took a crisis to reveal it, but now we know.
did you have any idea, Megan, how many shitheads there were in your industry?
I didn't. And it's so funny because, Gareth, I mean, I was doing corporate entertainment. I was one of the busiest entertainers in Johannesburg before this thing locked down. And I'm amazed because these artists are living off royalties. I mean, I'm a recording artist. None of my music is on South African radio. But they're living off royalties. They're okay. Yeah. And they couldn't just come
Megs.
Through.
They're not just living on royalties. They're living on like 160 grand a gig fee.
Yeah. And here I'm making 3,000, 4,000 rand on a gig. And I'm just thinking, hey,
I've got an anonymous artist on the line. Hi, you two. The reason you do so badly is because you're not as good as me.
That's what they think.
All right, but listen,
I had no clue. This
is a terrific. I'm very excited just because I mean, there's so many names on there that I would watch. I watched one of these concerts the other day. Rubber Duck did one, and I was sitting in my lounge watching it, and it felt like I was there. It was actually pretty cool. I'm not bullshitting you.
Awesome.
You know, a lot of the stuff really is substandard, but these guys did it. They put on a great show. It felt like I was really being entertained, and sometimes it works. If it's done properly, it can be very, very powerful.
Exactly.
I love the Ducks.
And don't forget, we have Harry Sideropoulos, who really is an incredible vocalist. I mean, that the only thing lower than the Rand is Harry Sideropoulos' voice, literally.
Yeah, you can hit those bass notes. Yeah, all right, listen.
Insane.
You've sold me on the idea. I'm excited for you, and I congratulate you both on being brave enough to do this, because everybody has ideas, but the ones who actually get them to fruition, make them happen, those are the people I think make a difference in society. So what is going to happen to the money? How do you distribute that?
Well, we have people who apply to us through our Facebook page.
I know it's vulgar. I know it's vulgar to talk about money, and it's...
No, this is what it's about. This is what it's about. So we send out grocery vouchers and sometimes money vouchers, because we feel it works better than a food package, because sometimes people need to buy data. Sometimes they need electricity. So they can take that to the store and they can buy what they need.
And so many of your colleagues are drug addicts as well, and you don't want them spending their money on drugs.
look at Sia's face. Thanks for that. I mean, talking to someone who's never taken a drug in his life. I don't smoke alcohol for the first time at 39. Oh, thanks for that, Gareth.
All right.
I think you're confusing us with all the radio people.
Oh, yeah, sure. They can't afford it. Trust me.
See, because they can't be seen. They can't be seen.
Yeah, well.
So, and look, there are special cases where there are people who've gone, I'm about to lose my car, and we send them a little extra. I mean, they can't pay for their entire car, but we send them a little extra. If they stuck without their rent, we send them a little extra. It's just, you know, it's gotten to that point where people are now losing their homes, losing their cars. And I wanted to say, I understand that South Africans everywhere are struggling. I just want to tell your listeners that being a freelance performer is like being that business owner. Mm-hmm. It's different to salary from a company. We are self-employed. We wait for the phone to ring. Even when we go out, I've always been one of those who's created my own stuff.
Yeah.
But there is very little help for people who own businesses.
Yeah.
And we are our businesses. And that is what makes it so hard for us. We are not employees. And it's really difficult for us.
Well, I mean, that's why I had you guys on, because I thought there are plenty of people who, you know, they have a way to make ends meet, and it's not really about who's deprived at the moment, because pretty much everybody's in a tough financial situation. But what makes the difference here is that you guys aren't asking for a handout, and you're not sitting around waiting for someone to save you. You've got, you know, you're like anybody else. You've got a plan to make it happen, and that's what I love. So congratulations again. It's good stuff that you're doing.
Thank you for having us, Gareth. This is awesome. Thank you.
All right, you two. Have a happy day, and good luck with the concert. We'll all be watching. And let us know how much is raised at the end of it. It's terrific.
Absolutely.
We will do. Right, Thank you so much. Thanks, Leanne. Thanks, Sia.
Good stuff. All right. There's Megan, Victor Carlson, Owen Lonza, directors of Open Spaces, and you can find out more about the concert. We'll also put the information up on cliffcentral.com. But it's all happening on the 2nd of August at 7 in the evening. Tickets, 70 Rand. 70 Rand is not going to put you in debt for the rest of your life, and you might be able to help some artists to pay their bills, which doesn't sound to me like a terrible idea. Right, Leanne?
Absolutely. Love it.
Very good. Got George Meany joining us in just a moment or two, and we're going to find out what's happening in the world of cars. Hey, George.
Hey, Gareth. How's it going?
Lovely. You look very organized this morning. Are you ready for another weekend? Anything to report this week? What's going on in the world of motoring?
Well, Gareth, the general trend of retail prices for used cars has declined by 4.1% year on year in June, which isn't surprising because there is pressure on people's pockets, which means that they're swinging to used cars, which means that there's increased demand in certain areas and not increased demand in other areas. So three cars, however, buck the trend.
Oh, yeah?
The Toyota RAV4 has actually increased in price.
Really?
Second-hand Toyota RAV4 has increased by 18,000 Rand from March to May, which went for 299,000 Rand in March and 318,000 Rand in May. So Toyota RAV4 is actually in high demand.
Tell me why you think that's happened to the Toyota RAV4.
Toyota generally is a reliable car. It's also made in South Africa, and you get a lot of features with a Toyota. So I think it's really just the brand, because the other brand that, or should I say, the other car that's increased in price over the last couple of months is the VW T1.
Mm-hmm. What's happening? What's so funny, Sia?
What did Leanne break up?
What?
Never mind. Sorry.
What is going on with you, Sia? Are you already drunk? What's happening?
No, sorry.
You started laughing while George was describing a Toyota. That's not normally what people laugh at. Anyway, George, back to you.
George, something on your wall that makes it look like you have a ponytail. Sorry, I'm 12 years old. I am.
What is it?
So the positioning of what that was.
It's like, soundproofing. Sorry. And Sia started laughing like a child because this thing made George look like he had a ponytail. I'm sorry.
Makes you grow.
Everybody on this show is 12 years old. Sorry, George. Carry on.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Stand up, Sia. Do you have bottoms on?
Yes, I do, Mr. Meany. As you were, I apologize.
You don't have to apologize. Ponytail's quite a nice idea, actually. VW Tiguan. VW Tiguan has increased in value by about 20,000 Rand from March to May. And then another VW, the Amarok. So you can see all three of those are SUVs. So to answer your question, people are going for secondhand SUVs. That seems to be the thing.
Okay. That makes a little bit of sense. It's just great. It's great to see that there are a few cars that are bucking the trend, because generally, as you say, the news is not so good.
Yeah, the news isn't so good. And with a decline in price of used cars generally, obviously you as a car seller or a dealer would have to turn those cars very quickly, because you could get yourself into a situation where you can't sell the car for a profit. So dealerships would be under pressure in an environment where there's declining prices. And then Jaguar Land Rover. I know you like the Land Rover, Gareth, but Jaguar Land Rover launches a subscription service in the UK called Pivotal. Mm-hmm. And the subscription service allows customers or consumers to swap their cars every 6 months. You have to pay a monthly fee, including rental insurance, tax, any service and repair costs. And you have to pay a once-off joining fee. And they expect all cars to be rentals of this nature by 2025, which I think is a very low percentage. I mean, they're claiming that the millennials don't see car ownership as important, but only getting to 10% by 2025. I mean, an interesting product, but not getting very much traction.
Well, do you think that millennials feel that way about cars? What's your experience?
You know, I think millennials put less value on cars as a whole, except for using them to get from point A to point B.
Wait, I know. I know we can ask one. He's busy laughing at your ponytail. Millennial.
He Ubers everywhere.
What do you think?
Let me just put down avocado toast.
Yeah, okay. Millennial, tell me what you think of cars. Do you agree with George that it's really just a way to get from A to B?
Yeah, and for me, it's also the reason why I wouldn't exactly get rid of my car just yet is for the convenience of it right now. You know, when you need to go somewhere after a meeting and you have a change of clothes in your car, you have your gym bag in your car, I'm not exactly about to start using on-demand transport services just yet, but I'm not looking at my car as my be-all and end-all and pride of joy. So,
yeah, you're not going to spend maybe what a Gen Z person or a baby boomer might spend on their car, because it was a much more of a status symbol for them, right, George?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, for people in yours and my age category, it was a status symbol, and to a large degree probably is. And maybe as the millennials age, you know, that wanting of a luxury car might just be there. But I think there's two factors. One is the fact that it's what Sia describes, the ability to go where you want when you want. But secondly, the Corona.
The Rona. You don't want to get it. I knew the Rona would come up somewhere today.
That could drive people to want to be in their own car isolated.
Okay.
Even millennials. Mm. So 12 weird facts about cars. Okay. The Dubai police cars are the fastest police cars in the world.
What do they drive there again?
The Audi R8, the Lamborghini Aventador is amongst their fleet. They've even got a Bugatti Veyron, top speeds of 253 miles per hour with these police cars.
Don't try to outrun them. You will be left behind.
Exactly.
Or you'll be put in jail, actually.
You'll land up in jail in Dubai. No. Porsche, believe it or not, had a first electric car in 1898. The first design was the Egger Loner electric vehicle, which... apparently could drive 21 miles per hour and had a range of about 41 miles on one charge.
Hmm. That's how I was bullied in primary school. I was
going to say, it sounded like it's something that you tease and say, oh, look, there goes Egger Loner.
It was a loner because all the other cars were faster and could go further. And then South Africa, I don't know if you remember back in the 1990s when hijacking was a much bigger thing than it is today, and it was easier to steal a car. Somebody developed a flamethrower that came out the side of your car.
I wanted one of those at the time, yeah.
Or those blades that come out, that would be awesome.
People developed weird and wonderful things. So this thing actually existed in the 1990s, which is a flamethrower that was mounted on the sides of your car. How legal that was, I don't know.
I love that. I still want one. Can we still buy them?
I don't know. Okay. It's actually made its way to Wikipedia.
Okay.
And then before 1973, whale oil was used in the transmission of vehicles. In the gearbox of vehicles, whale oil was used.
Listen, they used to use whale oil for a lot of things back in those days. And
soap.
And this is where, you know, you've got to just wait for technology to catch up and for people to realize that those old things that they used to use are just not the best things for the purpose that we think they were for. I mean, whale oil used to be used in lamps and all kinds of stuff. And then we eventually discovered that there are better fuels that burn for
longer. Yeah, it was used in a lot of cosmetics as well. Lipsticks, correct. Yeah. Soap.
Ooh. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then the man that invented cruise control, you know what cruise control is, was blind.
Ah.
Oh.
That was unexpected.
Ralph Teeter, a mechanical engineer, was inspired to invent cruise control, or in those days called the Speedostat, as it was originally trademarked. After riding with his lawyer, Teeter noticed the lawyer slowed down while talking and sped up while listening. So he just cruise control.
We all know a driver like that somewhere. They can't do two things at once.
So the slowing down and the speeding up irritated Teeter, so he invented the cruise control.
That's brilliant.
Such a good idea.
That's amazing.
And then lastly, back in many years ago, out 1950s or 60s, there was this thing called the old rite of passage.
Yeah.
Actually before that, where a 12-year-old boy would have to run behind a car and breathe in the exhaust fumes deeply over and over until he finally passed out. If he lasted a set amount of time, and it varied from region to region apparently, he would then become the official man of the city and was rewarded an icebox cake and the first pair of real adult socks.
And then he would die a week later.
You know, when people say that, you know, life is hard and the world is difficult and it's such a shit place and corona and blah, 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 I always say that's what you had to do to be the most popular person in town, is basically put yourself in danger of lung cancer and other much more, you know, immediate stuff. If you're huffing in
the exhaust fumes. Yeah, isn't that how people commit suicide?
Jesus.
Yes, they gas themselves. That's exactly right.
I mean, this is what you had to do just to get a cake.
Just to get a cake and to be called the man of the city.
Oh, people are the worst.
People are the worst. They're weird. They're weird.
So bad.
That's it for this Friday.
All right. That's plenty to chew on. Thank you, George. Always good to see you. You know, not just because we like you, but also because when you're on, means the weekend is finally here. So, everybody, have a good weekend. And if you have any problems or you don't like something about the show, please email Sia, because that's what he does. He's going to take care of it. Don't send it to me.
Email him all weekend.
Yes, all weekend. Sia, S-I-Y-A, at cliffcentral.com. And he'll be sure to ignore
the
your
help
email.
Desk.
One better. Take a photo editing app and what Sia would look like with
a ponytail.
Yes, please. Can we have some versions of what Sia would look like with a ponytail, please? Send those on to us today. We're desperately waiting for them. Gareth at cliffcentral.com too.
You know we will get them now, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm hoping for, Sia. That's what we need. All right, everybody. Have a good day. And don't forget to do a little bit of exercise and try to do some useful stuff over the weekend, even though you're probably just going to slob around the house. Don't feel too bad if that is what you're doing. And we will see you Monday, bright and early, 6 o'clock in the morning. Have a good weekend.
See you then.
All right.
CliffCentral.com.